SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Ukrainian on mobile, online and on radio.
Ви з SBS українською на мобільних, в інтернеті та на радіо.
Hello from the BBC. I'm Pete Ross with an update on the war in Ukraine. One of the main events of the war in Ukraine was the fall of the southern port of Mariupol. Now, state media in Moscow say more than 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers who surrendered there have been transferred to Russia for, quote, investigation. They're among some 2,500 taken captive after the Mariupol siege. Ukrainians regard these men as heroes and want them returned. But Russia views them very differently, says the BBC's Joe Inwood in Kyiv.
Especially the fighters of the Azov Battalion. That's the group who once at their formation were thought to have associations with the far right, obviously now integrated into the Ukrainian military. But that is why there are fears that these soldiers could be put on trial. Previously, members of the Russian parliament have called for them to be treated as war criminals, as terrorists. Some have even called for the death penalty in their cases.
On the battlefront, fighting continues in the east of the country, with both sides claiming they're gaining the upper hand. And in the northeast, Ukraine's second city, Kharkiv, has come under renewed attack, with a number of Russian missile strikes over the past 24 hours. War Davis is in Kharkiv.
The sound of missiles and shells landing have been heard again across Ukraine's second biggest city in the last couple of days. That's led to concerns that Russian forces, with the border just 20 miles away and the front line even closer, may be about to intensify their attacks on the city, although their main focus remains the Donbas region further south.
Elsewhere, the foreign ministers of Russia and Turkey have been meeting in the Turkish capital, Ankara. Turkey is trying to broker a deal to unblock exports from Ukraine. It's been holding talks with both warring parties as pressure mounts to ease a global grain shortage. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov blamed Ukraine for the food crisis.
To resolve this problem, we need one thing, for the Ukrainians to allow access to their ports, either by demining or the provision of safe corridors. Nothing more is required.
But those words were dismissed by top European Union official Charles Michel, calling them a web of lies. He said it was Russia, not Ukraine, which was threatening global food security.
Russia is using food as a weapon of war, stealing grain, blockading ports, and turning farmlands into battlefields. There are over 20 million tons of grain stuck in Ukraine. This is disrupting global food security, driving up prices, and causing global famine.
The war is into its fifth month, having started in February, and many parts of Ukraine are now reliant on emergency aid. Now the US firm Uber has created a special private version of its food delivery service to help the United Nations deliver vital food and water supplies. It's hoped the technology, being trialled in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro, will make it easier to distribute supplies. David Beasley is Executive Director of the UN World Food Programme.
It's not like you can wait a month to get food to people. People got to get food immediately. You can't go a few weeks without food. And so using their technology, using their distribution systems and dispatch systems, it really is a great success story.
And if it really is successful, the system will be rolled out to other cities. The BBC's Zoe Kleinman has been looking into this.
In some parts of Ukraine, it's getting harder to access food and water, and it's also getting more difficult for aid agencies to deliver it because of damage to roads and buildings and the threat of larger lorries being attacked. To combat this, the World Food Programme is trying out a network of smaller vehicles and drivers, and it's using Uber's software to coordinate deliveries and track them on the ground. Usually, Uber charges customers to use its delivery service tools, but it's built this system for free.
Meanwhile, BBC reporters in Ukraine have come across some of the foreign volunteers who've gone to the country to help distribute aid. This volunteer from the UK, and who asked not to be named, says she was compelled to come. She's been helping elderly people escape areas which have come under Russian attack.
You hope that you're doing the right thing, taking them away. And you'll think about that for every single person you evacuate. Will they get to come back? Ukrainians are tied to the land and I was told that if you take a Ukrainian away from that, then they will die. That's why whenever I evacuate a woman, I will pick her a flower from outside her building. I can't give them any of the earth to take with them, but I can give them a flower to take. It's the only thing I can do.
Those are the latest developments on day 105 of Russia's invasion. I'm Pete Ross at the BBC.